Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. We're also here with Chris Bruno and Tracy Johnson. If you are new to Marriage Therapy Radio because of Chris and Tracy's work, welcome. Thank you for listening. Go ahead and check out our other episodes. We've got a ton, and we would love to know what you think. If you're not new to Marriage Therapy Radio, I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. Chris and Tracy have a really neat platform for helping couples, in particular helping couples go deep, and we get to talk about that. I'm excited about their workshop, which they have coming up here pretty soon, although they may have sold it out. I know for sure I referred one of my clients to them. Maybe there's something in their portfolio that would work for you. It's not just for couples, it's also for individuals. A reminder too that we have our workshop coming up, not to compete. They're very different in terms of what needs could be met, but if you're interested in learning more about the 7 principles for making marriage work through the Gottman Method lens, Laura and I have our workshop coming up in October. She's got her weekly series, which I think is closing here pretty soon. You can learn more about that at Marriage Therapy Radio, and I would encourage you to go ahead and do that. In the meantime, this is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Before we get to what lights you up clinically, I want to know about you, what lights you guys up personally. And you're not, just so the listeners know, you guys are not married. You're not in the same state. You're just colleagues, friends. Do you own each other as friends?
Yes.
You go first.
Yes. Yes. We own each other as friends. We are colleagues. We are family friends as well. Friends with Tracy and her husband, Mark. And then we're colleagues. We work together at Restory Counseling. And so we do a ton of work together, both in the marriage space, that we do intensives together. We teach together. So there's we do a lot of work together. And we also like each other.
Yeah.
So that's helpful.
Yeah.
Laura and I, we always say that we're married, but not to each other.
And our dynamic is a little more brother-sister. It's, so a lot less like work-wife, work-husband, a lot more like work-brother.
That feels like a good description. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess I'll ask you, Tracy, what lights you up personally?
That's a great question. I mean, my family lights me up personally, and I love to travel. So I love to go to new places and see new things. I would say I'm sort of a extroverted introvert, so I can't say I love to meet new people in that way.
Why would you?
Right?
People are
but
awful.
I mean, I do also enjoy encountering people, but I think those are some of the things that I've, my face would go, oh yes, let's go. Like, there's an opportunity to go. I'm in. How do we go? When do we go? That would be great.
I love travel, so I'm going to just throw a month out there, and I want to hear, where would you go in the month of May?
In the month of May, I would probably go, I would go to Italy, or I would, because Italy is always good, so I would go to Hawaii, I would go to Turks and Caicos.
Okay.
So
I would go to Germany. I would go to Germany for 3 days, and that's what we just did. I never left North America before this year. And Laura and I went on tour in the spring, and we did Germany. We did Korea. We were in Colorado. We were in Denver for a couple
Space
of days.
Force.
And, but travel is wild, man. It's like, in terms of, I still can't quite get over how myopic my life has been in terms of just like never kind of leaving North America or America or Seattle forever. So yeah, I think I'm going to try and catch the travel bug here before too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have Tracy cough on you and you'll catch that bug real fast.
You will. You will. Yeah. You'll be gone.
Chris, how about you? What lights you up personally?
Well, similarly, travel is something that Beth and I love to do. I just got back on Monday from a trip to Kenya, where I was leading a trip of fathers and their kids, older kids, on an experience in Nairobi with a ministry that we partner with there. So there's that. I also love, I'm in Colorado. I mean, you can't live in Colorado and not love the outdoors. And so I love just being able to get out and do things in the mountains. So any form of that.
Interestingly, Zach and I were kind of talking about like a win, like something that we need that kind of stirs us professionally.
Right.
And I'm guessing because you're still talking about it and, you know, sharing the word of what excites you professionally. So how do your stories come together where you are doing exciting things professionally?
I'll let you go first this time, Tracy.
They're so much nicer than we are to each other, Zach. You guys have manners.
I would say I think we enjoy the marriage space together. I think we have a lot of fun there, and I think we enjoy helping couples see something from a different perspective, realize something they didn't know, find each other in ways that they maybe even had given up and thought like, this is just lost. So certainly in that space. And then I think that we lead together some intensive group spaces. So we do one for women where it's all women, but Chris is there. We do one for men where it's all men, but I'm there. And I think that is also a place where we get to do work that we individually love. But I think that I would say I love that space. I love how we are together in those spaces. And I think that we have a high level of enjoyment of one another's strengths and a high level of empathy and compassion for one another's weaknesses. And so it makes working together a lot of fun.
Wow. I have such a follow-up question. If you're doing these intensive spaces for groups, is that something that you can do as an individual where you're not partnered and your partner is not going through another group?
Yes.
Like I could come without Rebecca is the question. Yeah. Is that the question? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what do I get? Like, I heard you talk about like, oh, we do couples spaces and we do... We're obviously more interested in the couple space. I have a little personal interest in individual work and how that works. But let's just stick with the couples piece for a second. When you talk about we help them see something new or latch onto something they haven't done before, how do you do that? Like, what's the path for people? And if we're putting the cart before the horse, let us know, because I want you to talk about what you want to talk about. But I'm interested to know. Oh, that sounds amazing. But how do you do that?
Yeah. No, that's
it's a secret
it's
sauce.
A great question, Zach. So. Much of the marriage space in just the general world, and I think you guys are not in that as much as the general world, but we aren't either, because we want to help people go beyond the tips and techniques of, you know, some of the typical kinds of things that you hear in the marriage space of listening and, you know, just I statements like those. Those are all great and good, but there's so much more behind the scenes. There are stories that are activated in a marriage that are not because of the marriage. They're not coming from the marriage. They're coming from a deeper place that each of the spouses brings into the marriage. And so the work that we do is helping in the present by reflecting on the past and helping the couple reflect on the past and work through some of their stories of pain and trauma that they bring into the marriage that are affecting the marriage. And then in the midst of that, growing a level of empathy and kindness and connection as a result of knowing the deeper stories. So that's the work that we like to do with couples. Yes, we help with the attunement and navigating some of those present issues, but really it is getting into what they bring into the relationship.
And I would say, you know, I think oftentimes people who come in who have an awareness that they have trauma, they tend to also have an understanding that whatever that is that's happened, that trauma that they're aware of, that's probably affecting them in the here and now. I think one of the times that we watch sort of like aha moments happen for couples are with people who maybe their story is, I had a pretty good childhood. It was pretty idyllic. And so we begin to sort of walk into that and ask them, you know, tell us more about that. Tell us about what was idyllic. And as they start to talk about it, we start to drift down a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper into what their actual felt experience was growing up with a kid. As a kid, maybe it didn't tap on, you know, what they would think of as trauma, but they certainly have had failures of love and failures of belonging, failures of connection that have been really sort of not understood or been dismissed. And as they start to realize, oh, wow, just some of those things have affected how I come into my relationship with my spouse, we watch, you know, aha, oh, wait, okay, that's what's going on here. That's interesting. I didn't know that. So, you know, that's always sort of fun.
Yeah.
When you watch that happen for somebody.
I have a little bit of a request because I like to take these things that as Zach and I are nodding along going, we see this, we work with this. We like to dig into the stories and understand what's showing up in the room that has a history and longevity in that person's life that's been with them for a really long time. Can you tell a story or give an example of a real life thing that shows up between partners that might be uncovered as a result of digging a little bit deeper into the past? I know I'm putting you on the spot. And obviously, you know, we are not here to...
Yeah, please take some time to give their first and last name and where they're from and how long they've been married. Yeah. And like, I want you to go into really specific detail. Before you do that, I'll give you, like, I'll just talk for a second while you're thinking, because Laura, you're on fire with the questions today. Nice work. But I feel like what you guys are doing, like, I'm already impatient, and that's not about you. That's about, I think we live in a world that is impatient. Like, I want to be done. Like, and maybe I've been trained by TikTok to have all of my advice be in like 30-second little blips or something. But in terms of like inviting people to the patient part of this, maybe that's where, like, I don't know, would a story help to explain a little bit of like what you're inviting couples to do and how that's effective for them?
Oh, I think all of us are impatient, Zach. And I think what the reality is that healing is a process that takes time. And if we try to microwave our relationships, we're going to all end up fried. And so it just, we have to take the time to actually get through some of these things. So yes, I'm 100% with you on the impatience level. And also, like, one little step, when you see a couple take one little step or an individual take one little step that might feel little in the moment, it is actually quite monumental, because those little changes, you know, 1 degree shift in navigation can change the destination over the course of the journey. And so I feel like that just is so helpful for us to go, like, this is significant what you've just done, even if it feels like it's going to take a little bit to really unpack that and work on that. It actually brings a lot of hope. So Tracy, you have a story? I'm sitting here thinking through all the stories that we have and which would be kind of the best one to share.
So I will offer a story. Okay. So the sort of the, you know, presenting issue is just the sense that the husband has of feeling like his wife is just hurting him all the time. She doesn't seem to understand what it is that she's doing, but his felt experience is that he is feeling hurt. He's feeling abandoned. He's feeling misunderstood. He's feeling sort of this chronic lack of connection with her. And she just doesn't understand. I mean, we can't seem to pinpoint like what exactly is going on here. So as he starts to consider and unpack just a little bit more of what his childhood looked like, his childhood is filled with encounters with mom and dad that include sort of, you know, explosive moments of anger from dad, and then dad just disappears. you know, in a rage. He's upset. He just walks out of the house, leaves them. So that repeats enough that he never really knows what he's going to get from dad. And there's a similar dynamic with mom. Mom comes to him and is, you know, in trying to comfort him about what dad just did, it becomes around how dad just does that to her too, right? And so this kid is not, this husband is really not getting any kind of safe connection from his parents. So, you know, the aha moment for him is as he starts to realize that it's like, as a kid, these daggers are getting, you know, shoved into him in his dynamic at home. And that's a metaphor that he uses to describe what he begins to realize is that his wife isn't hurting him. She's just brushing up against the daggers that have been there. And so, yes, he's feeling hurt in his encounters with her, but what he realizes is she's not the source of the pain, right? The pain is in these things that have been stuck in there. And so every time she moves towards him, it largely in sort of healthy ways, she's brushing up against his daggers and he's like, ouch. So now we've reframed the whole possibility of what's going on because he begins to realize, like, wait, if I'm feeling hurt, maybe instead of just accusing and blaming my wife, I want to stop and go, what's going on for me? Right.
Yeah.
And then gets to start thinking about what does it look like to start, you know, removing these daggers and actually getting care for the wounds that are there. And
that begins to become tactics.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. I have been doing a little bit more of this kind of work with clients. And sometimes I'll hear them say, why does everything have to do with the past? Why does it always go back to the past? And I was like, well, because everything goes back to the past. If you learned how to walk and you pronated, you walked on the outside of your feet. And then as an adult, you're like, oh, my ankles hurt all the time. That's because you learned how to walk. You have to do physical therapy to get your feet flat on the ground, or even your accent. Like it's not a cop out or a you know, a parachute to say, oh, it probably has to do with your past. Everything has to do with the past, you know? And so part of it, I think, is you're beginning to describe how to learn and then perhaps unlearn these behaviors or these sort of responses, adaptations that you have to this experience that you had of your parents, perhaps, or even just your environment.
And you have to step in, just like Tracy was saying, you have to name what actually occurred in order for you to begin the process of healing it. And if you don't name those things, then you can't actually do the work to tend to the wounded parts of your past in order for you to learn how to walk differently or to learn how to speak differently, you know, kind of in that relational language. To learn how to do that differently, you have to go back and unlearn some of those things, just like you said. But you can't unlearn them if you don't know what they are.
Huh.
Right. So you called these intensive groups, I believe, or intensive work. And that word resonates so much with what you are asking for people to do. When they come to our office and they chose Gottman Method, which is what the two of us are certified in and is sort of our framework that we have been using for a long time, though we use other techniques, I think that there is an ease that comes with it because it's tools, because it's tactics. But if they came in and then we said, and this is what happens in my office, so get ready. Where did that come from? And I start to uncover and question, how long has this been with you? And tell me about your parents. And then they're like, wait, why are we talking about the history? This is now we're starting to rub up against something that's a little more intensive and a little less tactical, logical, more emotional. Seems like a lot of heavy lifting for folks. Are they ready and prepared to do that work when they come to you? Or do you find that people are kind of surprised, like, wow, I did not expect that my relational stuff was going to get so deep into my stuff?
Yeah, I would say that by and large, people, I think through our, what's the word I would use, onboarding process or pre-work process,
sure,
or whatever, they have some sense that that is where we're going to go. And we're, you know, we're kind of known that that's what we do. So people do have a sense of that. I don't know that they have a sense of how deep or how intense.
Yeah.
because we don't know where we're going to go often in the context of the narratives and the stories that they bring. It's unfolding in the journey as it occurs. And at the same time, by and large, a lot of people just would like a Tylenol, but actually they have a brain tumor. And so we're going to need to, you know, they're starting with a headache, and we're not going to give them a Tylenol. We're going to actually go in and try to work on what is the origin of the problem here. And it is intense. And
But you can give them a Tylenol too, right? Like, you can help with the acute part of it that says, hey, we're going to get this pain out of the way in order to really get underneath the, like, I feel like they have to work together. Yeah.
Yes. We're not vicious in the process of, you know, slicing someone's heart open and getting into their story. We want to be gentle and direct. So.
Yeah. And maybe with my own metaphor, it's like this, there's a doctor who does prescribe acute care. And then there's the doctor who does the long-term, you know, what's it called? Oncology? Yeah. Is that what a cancer doctor is?
Yeah, and I think sometimes there's relief for people. If you've had a headache for 5 years and you take Tylenol every day to survive, and you're showing up saying, I've had this headache for 5 years, you don't actually need a Tylenol, right? Because you've tried that. You've been trying that, and you're living off of that, and it's not really producing any flourishing. And I would say, and maybe because the nature of where I focus my time is really on sort of story work, I end up with people coming to see me because they've been in therapy for a really long time and nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're looking for something different than that. They've been given tools. Maybe they've been given techniques. They've been given enough Tylenol, and they're like, I'm wondering if there's something more going on here.
Okay. Now, I mean, Zachary, I just have all sorts of questions. So I appreciate you letting sort of dive into my natural curiosity. Two things come to mind. Number one is a room full of people diving into their own story, their own history, what's going on. How does the group dynamic support this process? What does that look like? And why do you do it specifically in a group?
So I would say one of the things that is true about what happens in a group is that, you know, relational harm happens in relationship. So wounds happen in the context of relationship. And so they're healed in the context of relationship. One of the things that happens when you have a small group is that when you're working with someone one-on-one, there's you see less of who they are, right, as a whole person. When you begin to put somebody in a group, you get to see how they interact with others and how others interact with them. And one of the things that I would say is, you know, it takes maybe a day and a half or 2 days in a group intensive, and people are starting to show up in the group the way they show up in their life. And that gives us the opportunity to really get curious. And gives them the opportunity to also get curious, because inevitably they're starting to feel with the other people in that room things that they feel in relationship with people in their life. So that is a thing that happens in a group dynamic that I think is fantastic. I think the other thing that happens in a group dynamic is that you get the experience of going, oh, me too. Like, I'm not the only one. And oftentimes what we will find happening is that people are realizing things about their own story as they're listening and watching us work with another person's story. And so it's like these boxes are getting unlocked and dots are getting connected in a communal experience, which can have the potential of dissipating some of the shame. Because you're feeling less isolated and less like, this is just me and no one could possibly understand me, right? And so you can hear me. I get lit up. Like, this is, I love this work. I would probably take group work any day of the week over working with an individual.
I had a feeling you were going to say the second part, which is it is really helpful to hear, you know, to stand back and maybe not be ready to speak up, but and see you working with somebody else and go, oh, gosh, that just sort of opened up something for myself that I didn't even see happening. But you kind of blew me away, and it makes perfect sense that you're hurt in relationship, and so you heal in relationship, and we don't always have the person who did the hurting to heal with.
Right.
And so we have to find these like chairs, right? These stand-ins to be able to help heal those wounds.
Right.
And if you're not in relationship with a secure person, it's tough to heal. So why not do it in a group dynamic?
Yeah.
And then in walks in Burning Man, a bunch of people trying to heal.
Yeah. And I think the beauty too of we do the couples intensive where there's, you know, six couples, 12 people.
Right.
We also do the individual intensives, which is you could come to that, Zach, without your wife, you know, that kind of a thing. It's a men's intensive. But the men's intensive is with Tracy present and the women's intensive is with me present, so that there is the dynamic of a safe, you know, for the women, a safe woman, a safe mother to be in the room, and also a safe father, and to work in the dynamics of what that all looks like as we are engaging in the group space.
Yeah.
It's really, really powerful.
Yeah. Wow.
Is there any sense that if the, if I'm in the men's intensive, I have to have done the couples intensive, or I can only
not at all.
Like they're separate populations. They float, they float themselves. Yeah. Okay. But you can. If I do the couples one, I can then go, hey, I think I'm going to do this men's thing too. Like, I could do that if I
want to. We do have some frequent flyers who kind of like to come in several different things with us and individual intensives, group intensives, all that stuff. But no, you don't. They're not related. You can do one or the other or both.
Yeah.
So where are these happening? And I'm sure you have lots of other things going on, but boy, we just kind of dove right into this aspect of your work and got really curious really fast. But where are you doing these intensives? Are they, I mean, you're in two different locations in the United States.
Yeah, our headquarters is here in Fort Collins. And so most of the intensives occur here in Colorado. And we host them in various spaces around, but it is here in Colorado. And then we are doing, you know, starting to do some things at other locations as well, but mostly they're here in Colorado.
And I've got, I mean, I've got a couple in my line right now. I'm like, you guys, this is, do you need to go visit with Chris and Tracy? So, but what's the cadence? Like, what's the rhythm? Is you once a month? Is it once a quarter, four times? I mean, how do I point people in your direction?
So both Tracy and I offer intensives where I am one-on-one with someone or I am one-on-one with a couple. So we do offer that. We each do one a month, generally about one a month of those. And then the group intensives, we have a men's intensive at the beginning of the year, a women's intensive at the end of the year, a couples intensive in the fall. And so we've got three of those, looking at maybe having a couple more of those. But that's kind of the cadence of what that looks like for when we do those. We have a couples intensive coming up in October and a women's specifically for therapists happening in November. So for therapists listening, you know, if there's a place where you are specifically looking for care, which is really hard for counselors to find care for themselves, this intensive is in November here in Colorado for female therapists.
Oh, for
did
female,
you say that you have, that your intensive, there's six couples?
In our marriage intensive, we do six couples. And so,
wow.
So do you have room in October for new couples?
We do. We've got one.
Yeah.
I think we have one slot left.
One or two
slots. Oh, we have two.
I'm pretty sure we're going to fill it.
Great.
Yeah. No, I'm going to call my people right now and be like, you guys got to jump on this opportunity and see if it's available still.
Yeah.
But we, you know, this episode will come out in the middle of August.
Yeah.
So if there's still spots available, how do people find you? Like, where do we point them? How do we tell them to go? Check out Chris and Tracy.
So go to restory.life. So restory.life. And you can find us there. There would be a link for our intensives. And all the individual intensives and group intensives are there. So
I have a follow-up question. What do I do after I come to an intensive? There has be some follow-up work.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for folks?
Yeah, we tend to end up with two different types of people who find us. So we have people that find us because they're working with They've either done story work inside our practice, or maybe they've done therapy inside the practice. Sometimes it's, I end up with a client of my own that decides to do an intensive. So those folks are getting followed up by somebody inside our practice. We also, though, end up with people who find us from outside. And if they don't have a therapist, generally we recommend that that's something that they plan for on the backside. So we will either connect them with somebody who's got availability inside our practice, or we encourage them to find somebody else that's going to be able to do that. Anytime Chris and I offer an intensive, it comes with a session or two on the front end and a session or two on the back end that you get with us. But you're exactly right, Laura. There's long-term work that doing an intensive can be a great thing to do if you're stuck, you know, and you feel like you just want to get some movement in a quicker period of time. But then there is sort of the walking out of that work on the back end. True. And that's best done, you know, by continuing to be in relationship with somebody who's offering you care for another 6 months, 8 months, 12 months.
Awesome.
And who's the ideal client? Like, who's the ideal couple or ideal individual? Like, what differentiates them from the man on the street or the woman on the street?
That's a great question.
Yeah. So I would say the ideal client is somebody who has a sense that something in their life is, I love Tracy's word from earlier, that is not flourishing. There's something that is happening that they recognize it's not going well. And then also they probably have tried a few things already. They've tried to read some books. They've tried to see a marriage therapist. They've tried to, you know, go to the marriage conference. They've those things. And there might be a little bit of a blip of goodness that they have. There might be a little bit of movement. But really, at the end of the day, they don't kind of have those breakthroughs or those moments that really are shifting in their relationship. And so someone like that is going to be just a great candidate for, like, hey, I really want to jump in. And especially if you can work with somebody who has comes from the same kind of mindset, model, posture that we do on the front end or the back end, it's really going to give that person a full kind of suite of care to make the shift that they're looking for. Someone who is not willing to acknowledge that they have a story, someone who is probably in deep crisis, is also not a good candidate for an intensive, because the intensive is really kind of working through some relational dynamics. It's not coming in the moment of like, hey, we are in the moment of like, this is our last ditch effort and we're going to, you know, the papers are signed and ready to go, but we're going to hope that you can like wave the magic wand to make it change. That is not going to be the place for an intensive client either. So
it's such a catch-22, these things, because people don't start looking for like marriage intervention until they're in crisis.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, how do you get ahead of the curve a little bit? So I'm definitely advocating a lot more for being proactive. Laura knows this, of course, but Rebecca and I just did this summer a workshop, a 2-day workshop of our own that was kind of separate from, it was actually completely separate from work that we're familiar with. And it was so deeply good just to spend 2 days kind of doing something that was focused on the relationship. And I don't mind pitching on our behalf. If yours fills up, and yours is a different clientele than ours, but we have a workshop in October as well that I'm just like, right now, like, do anything, do it before you get into crisis. So if you're wanting to do Chris and Tracy's, go for it. Amen. Although I'm hoping that I can poach one of my clients to get in there first.
Just don't get there before. Well, we know about it 2 weeks in advance. Before
That's true.
So.
But, you know, we have this Gottman workshop in October that I think, again, if you're looking for tools and tactics, it's a great way to do that without getting into crisis first. I did want to ask you, though, Chris.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you one more question because, as I mentioned, Chris and I went to school together. We went to seminary together. Your clients, do they need to have some sort of faith orientation, or is that part of the gig, or is it not, you know, can I come and not have that, you know?
I would say no, they do not need to have that orientation. Both Tracy and I have a theological and psychological posture and understanding of things, and we do bring that into the space, but we are very aware of whoever is coming in and where we're coming from.
Yeah.
And what we work with where the person is, for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
I also have a question because, I mean, you gave me the website, and if I'm ready to hit like order, I wanted to be on the website immediately, but apparently you were pitching to us and now we're sold. But help me understand the umbrella or how you guys work into Restory, because you gave me restory.life. I went there and now I see there's a big team. It's not just the two of you. So what is, I don't understand the organizational structure. I know you do these intensives, but what else is happening here?
There's a lot. There's a lot happening here.
Yeah.
So we have
that's very cool.
Beautifully like professional and diverse team. We have a local team here in Fort Collins who sees people individually, personally, face to face in our headquarter offices. But then we also have a team that is a virtual team, a story work team, and they're all across the country and they work with people virtually. And so the beauty of what we get to do is we get to shepherd. Tracy is the story work supervisor, and then there is a clinical supervisor who oversees both of those teams. And so we get to work in this collaborative space where there are spiritual directors, there are story work counselors, there's therapists, there are people who do, you know, more in the realm of coaching. Like there's a whole side of like we get to work interdepartmentally, if you will, or cross the team of what works best for that person. And there will be seasons where someone will work with a spiritual director and then they need to dive further into doing an intensive, and then they'll come out and they'll do some work with a story work coach. And like, so there's this sense of holistic work that we do in the individual basis. And then we also have a whole bunch of things online. One of the things that Tracy and I, and then my wife also, we started in 2020 when the world was kind of shutting down and we were recognizing that there are marriages in crisis. There are marriages who need help and we don't have access to that anymore because of COVID. We started something called the Thrive Marriage Lab. And this is an online marriage community, a cohort that we lead through a 12-month journey where we teach online. We have connection online. We are actually leading a Thrive Marriage workshop next weekend in New York around the marriage relationship. And we've divided that out into this these modules where we lead a client through, we lead a couple through the journey of healing, of awareness, and becoming more attuned to one another and their stories and understanding that past and the present and the future, all within the context of wherever they live. So it's kind of the
well, that's cool. So if I can't make an intensive, that's an alternative for me.
For sure. And it is a cohort. So we do them. We only open the doors for that once a year. And that's usually in the spring. And so that next opening will happen in March of 24. But if people want to start kind of getting connect with us, we've got, we've developed some Thrive Marriage dates that we, like 12 months worth of intentional dates that people can kind of sign up for and get from us and become a little bit more familiar with the work that we're doing. And then they will start to hear more about when the opening happens.
And those are free. So those 12 dates, that's a free resource that we're just offering to people because we believe in the importance of marriage and that dating can be such a critical thing to building more belonging in your marriage. So we'll make sure you guys have the link for that. But for anybody that's listening that just, you know, wants a taste of who we are, that's a free resource that we have out right now.
I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm going to pay attention to it and I'm going to name it. But I have butterflies in my stomach. I'm just like very excited for the work that you guys are doing. And it feels very wraparound. It feels very approachable, but it also, I don't know why I'm having this feeling, but it just kind of feels like I'm glad that we had you on. I'm glad that our listeners are listening to this episode. And I'm just hoping that they go to the webpage. Cause I've been, I mean, I got a little ADD and I'm like looking at the webpage. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That's so neat. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Thanks,
so, yay. I'm really impressed with the work that you have done. I love that it also is not just in Fort Collins, but it's also nationwide. Nationwide. So that is really neat.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's land this plane. And thank you. Thank you so much, you guys, for joining us
and letting us
know about your resources.
Yeah,
what a delight to meet you both. Really fun. Thank
you. Love what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. That was just such a joy. You guys know me. I don't get too excited or too lovey-dovey. I don't know. But something took over where I just feel like this is going to be such an amazing fit and resource for many of you. Please check it out. It's restory.life. And there's several workshops that are coming up and intensives. Their website is just chock full of resources, but I want to make sure to have you go to the free resource that they have available. So it's restory.life and then it's /thrive-dates. And this is the free resource for you for 12 dates for the year. Thank you so much for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.